GCQ, GCQ, wala namang mass testing, ganon! Sarap ng buhay. Sana ganito na lang palagi. Eh, ikaw kaya maging frontliner. Ganon!
Here's the thing. When we, as Filipinos, demand mass testing, we're not saying we literally have to test every single person on every single island in the Philippines.
At today's the last day na pala, ano bang sinasabi ko? Wala na po, palalo na tayo. We beat the UP prediction po. We beat it. So congratulations, Philippines. Let's do it again in July.
Magandang araw mga kapwa ng ka-quarantine. Ako po si Howie Severino, journalist sa GMA Network. Sa buhay lockdown, isa sa mga libangan ng marami ay manood ng mga vlog, mga personal na palabas sa internet na nagiging hanap buhay na ng ilang influencer. Paano ba sila kumikita? At anong nangyayari kapag nagkomentaryo sila sa politika? Welcome to Quarantined with Howie Severino. From beauty to terrorism ang tinatalakay ng una nating guest. Isa sa mga batang pioneer ng vlogging sa Pilipinas.
Si Janina Bella. Kumusta na, Janina?
Okay naman po ako. Excited po, pero medyo kinakabahan rin.
alam mo na lahat to. Yung pag sinabing lifestyle vlogging, anong ibig sabihin nun?
Actually, I'm not very familiar with kung ano talaga yung actual term, but the way that I would define it is really just sharing your life. Ito yung lifestyle ko, tos ito yung sinashare ko sa mga viewers ko. So it's showing just the mundane things, yung mga simple things of daily tasks, and sharing that with your viewers. So yun yung lifestyle vlogging para sa akin.
For a 21-year-old to be called a pioneer and a veteran at anything, no? Medyo parang... medyo may achievement ka na, no, at a young age, no? So bakit natin masasabing pioneer ka? You started as a young teenager, no?
Yes po. Medyo weird pa rin po yung fact that people call me a pioneer vlogger, pero I feel like it would attribute to the fact po kasi nung nag-start ako in 2015, I was 15 years old. And siguro mga sampu lang yung mga Filipino vloggers noon. So Mikey Bustos, Michelle D, Sadie Yoko, wala pa nga si Will Dasovich noon nang nag-start ako. So it was very, very early on in the game. Hindi pa siya malaking thing dito or hindi pa siya malaking trend sa Philippines noon. But syempre, the platform grew so much since then, no? That from before it was like 10 people, now it's hundreds. Of Filipino YouTubers. But yeah, I don't always feel deserving of the title pioneering because I feel like it was really a team effort between me and the other creators to set this culture, to set this tone, to start something in the Philippines that hadn't been explored yet.
You come from a showbiz family. You're the granddaughter of Helen Vela, di ba? Yung mga, siguro, mga ka-generation mo, yung mga katulad mo, ang pangarap, lumabas sa TV. Why go into vlogging as opposed to more traditional media? Anong nakikita mo sa vlogging na wala doon sa ibang uri ng big media?
Yeah, actually, I've been asked this question a lot kung bakit hindi ako nag-follow sa footsteps ni Lola Helen o ni Tita Princess. But I feel like my path is my own path. In the same way that their voices were very unique to them, I feel like my voice was very unique to me also. And so I had to find a platform that I could share that unique voice. And that was YouTube. Because hindi mo kailangan mag-fit kasi sa certain mold. There's not one kind of girl that people will listen to it. Hindi kailangan na payat ka or pabuti ka or mahaba yung buhok mo. Anybody is allowed on this social media platform, and I think that yun talaga yung maganda sa YouTube.
Medyo matagal mo nang ginagawa, no? Kasi kahit bata ka pa, you've been doing this for 6 years, no? So paano nagbago itong platform na to, yung vlogging? Sabi mo nga, nung nag-umpisa ka, mga sampu lang ang nagwa-vlog. Ngayon, medyo marami na. It's kind of a global phenomenon. Ang dami nang nakakapanood. But to you, paano to nagbago?
Siguro nakita po ng mga tao yung value, and they saw the significance of what a vlogger can be. Kasi dati po may stigma yun na parang, ah, vlogger ka lang. O parang gumagawa ka lang ng videos online. Parang binabaliwala lang nila yung, you know, term vlogger or kung ano yung, kung yun yung profession mo. But slowly, people started to see the impact a social media influencer could make. People started to see the change that you could have on people's lives. And also, you know, the relationships that you can make also on social media. Kasi syempre, you gain subscribers and you get to walk with these people. You get to share your life with these people.
You refer to what you do as a profession, no? Is this your profession? Trabaho mo na ba to?
Siguro. I think it could be for now, just because I say for now because wala siyang guarantees. It's very unpredictable. Syempre kasi nakita natin they could love you one day and the next day they could hate you. Or next day mamabash ka na. But as of now, yeah, I think of it as a profession because I invest a lot into it. Yung oras ko, yung effort ko. Syempre pera, buying all of the equipment, the lights, the cameras. And may return of investment. Syempre may mga projects, there's income, there's... it has become a career because there is that kind of transactional business that happens. So yes, I think I could call it a profession.
Yeah, so how do you earn? Paano ba kumita bilang isang vlogger?
People think of it, have different thoughts on how YouTubers earn. Kasi ang daming mga tao, they think it's super, super easy. So, super dali. Kung gusto mong yumaman sa anywhere, kung gusto mong yumaman, mag-YouTube ka. No. Early on, I just want to say, that's not the case at all. Because this is like insider info, but I'm allowed naman to say it. But basically kasi, our AdSense or our monetization or how much we earn from YouTube is a lot smaller than other countries. Pero dito kasi sa Pinas, advertisers don't pay that much for ads. So YouTube doesn't get that much money and so YouTubers don't get as much money as you think. So it's actually a lot smaller, our percentage in terms of view count and then monetary value. Pero actually, kung gusto mong kumita, or I think yung main source of income kasi ng mga YouTubers is actually from brands. It's brand deals, it's sponsored content. That's where most of the income actually comes from. And that's why I say that it's a profession without guarantees because it's a very, parang you have to build your brand. You have to build it like a business in a sense. Na magiging presentable ka sa mga ad agencies. Dapat presentable ka sa mga brands so that they'll partner with you. They'll see that you're a competent influencer. They'll see that you make excellent work. They'll see that you're effective in what you do. I never lie online. I'm always as truthful as I can be. Kasi yun yung may relationship ka na kasi with your subscribers and so you have to take care of that. Hindi pwede na kung like you're just lying to them for money. It's really they trust you. They listen to your word. And so I have to keep my integrity intact. Kaya again, it's really a lot of weighing and business. Because syempre, I have to keep afloat. but yeah, so far naman, I'm not bankrupt. So we're good.
Yeah, well, you seem to be doing well at such a young age. Pero yung evolution mo, no, as a so-called lifestyle vlogger, you started out not doing makeup and beauty tips and as a very young woman, as a 15-year-old. In fact, now you're doing political topics, no? You even endorsed senatorial candidates, local candidate. You're commenting on proposed legislation. You commented on the issue of the ABS shutdown, etc. No, aren't these risky for a vlogger who is, sabi mo nga, you're basically trying to make yourself marketable to brands, etc. Does it make sense business wise for you to be to be commenting on social and political issues? Wouldn't it have been safer to just kind of comment on makeup and teach beauty tips and, you know, that kind of thing?
yes, it's risky, and no, it does not make sense. Kasi may mga comments minsan mataas yung sabi nila na parang, you're just commenting on this kasi trendy siya, kasi gusto mong sumikat. But honestly, kung gusto ko talaga sumikat, if that was my goal, I would stick to makeup tutorials kasi doon talaga yung pera. Nandun yung fame, nandun yung money, nandun yung success in that sense. But I decided for myself 2 years ago that this was what it was important to me. Nung 15 years old ako, makeup was important to me. And then when I was 17, it was women empowerment that was important to me. And now, my priorities are different because to me, it's human rights that are important to me. It's the Filipino people, the well-being of the Filipino people that's important to me. So yes, it's hard on the business side, but I would regret years from now kung hindi ko to ginawa, kung hindi ako nagsalita tungkol dito sa mga senatorial candidates or sa legislation. If I didn't say anything about it, I know that I would regret it for the rest of my life.
Someone like yourself, you're still fairly young and you're wading into these controversial topics. So talagang may magbabash sa iyo, no? You have to be a pretty strong person at a young age. Not everyone can be that strong, no? So how do you deal with the pushback? Kasi we've seen some of the comments, no, in reaction to your commentary. Tinatawag kang, in fact, may isang comment, tinawag kang terorista dahil kinriticize mo yung anti-terror bill noon. Ngayon batas na siya, anti-terrorism act, no? So that has not discouraged you from commenting on controversial topics?
Oh, it has. It has discouraged me 100%. It has scared me and broken me down so many times. I'm not immune to it yet. Slowly, I think, you asked me if I was a strong person. I think slowly I became one. Hindi ako nag-start na manhid or parang fearless or sobrang bold. It was something that was built up over the years. Ask yourself, is it worth it speaking up on this? And if it is, then mag-ready ka na lang. Kasi people will really bash you no matter what you say. If you say what they want, somebody else will bash you. If you say what this side wants, somebody else will bash you. So you say what you want.
There are certain provisions in certain sections in this bill that are questionable. And when a bill can have such a huge effect on a person's rights and life, we cannot afford questionable.
We could see that you made an effort to study it, no? Binasa mo yung pinag-aralan mo yung issues, binasa mo yung mga dokumento para makapag-comment ka dun sa mga iba't ibang issues, ano? What motivates you to go through that effort?
I don't want to express any opinions that are based on merely just emotion. I strive for my opinions to be educated, to be as informed as they can be. Also to protect my credibility as a social media influencer, as somebody who shares their thoughts. Para sa akin, sobrang importante to go to the actual legal documents, to read the 63 pages of the anti-terror bill, and then to read as many things that I can, do my research as properly and as truthful as I can, just to, again, to take care of my relationships with my subscribers because they listen to me and I don't want to give them the wrong information or swayed opinions that have no actual, you know, backing. So I really try to take care of that.
Well, kanina binanggit mo yung validation, ano? Dito sa ginagawa niyo online, may tinatawag na cancel culture. Kumakailan, you probably heard, no? There was another vlogger who happened to make a derogatory, I guess, for some, it was an offensive remark about tricycle drivers, no? Tapos, teenager lang yung tao, no? Obviously, nagkamali siya, no? Pero, grabe yung nangyari sa kanya. I mean, things are happening to teenagers, to young people that wouldn't have happened in my time, pag nagkamali ka sa panahon ko, when I was a teenager, iilan lang yung makakaalam. Now we're talking about it. We don't even know. I don't even know this person, but and I don't want to mention his name kasi baka lalo pa siyang i-bash, no? But anong tingin mo dito sa cancel culture? I mean, meron ka bang sympathy para sa mga naka-cancel?
Oh yeah, 100%. I do not agree with cancel culture whatsoever, because I feel like it gives everybody the right to tell somebody that they don't deserve a second chance. And I think, you know, whenever I feel like I want to cancel somebody, I ask myself, Janina, perfect ka ba? Parang perfect kang tao to say that this person's career is over because they made one mistake. And so I feel like, again, I always say this in my videos, but I believe in education and not cancellation. Syempre, hindi natin alam yung buong kwento kasi friends naman daw siya sa mga tricycle drivers, or I'm sure iba yung experience niya that we'll never know with tricycle drivers. And so, I do have quote-unquote sympathy, but I also see the importance of being careful talaga with what you say, because nobody will really ever know the full story. Yung mahirap kasi sa social media, whatever you say can and will be used against you. Para Miranda rights lang, no? So it can and will be used against you. And so if something can and will be used against you, you better make it worth it. You better make sure that that's really what you want to say.
Okay, you've been doing this for a while, no? And then all of a sudden, everyone is locked down with much fewer things to do. And one of the things that people are doing even more of is staring at their phones and watching people like you, no? So, sa tingin mo ba, you're vlogging is having a moment, di ba? Anong tingin mo sa potential nito? Nagbago ba dahil dito sa quarantine and the pandemic? Paano kayo naapektuhan?
Actually, 5 years ago, sinasabi na sa amin na ito talaga yung way ng digital. This is the way that this was our trajectory. Ito talaga yung projection natin na everybody will eventually move to the digital sphere. Siguro po napaaga lang because of lockdown, because of, you know, social distancing and isolation. But this was really where it was supposed to go, which is digital. And so it's very empowering, I guess, for a lot of people, because now it's, again, anybody can be heard, anybody can be watched, anybody has a platform and has the potential to be, I guess, a quote-unquote influencer. And so, yeah, we've seen even celebrities ngayon po, they're going on YouTube, and then people who are not even on the creative realm of ano, they're also going on YouTube. I'm just really hoping that influencers use it for the better. Even, you know, we use this time na all eyes are on us, and we use it to make positive impact, and we try our best to take care of our platform, to take care of our subscribers, by staying as credible as we can be, by being positive role models, and setting a good example to our subscribers.
That's a good note to end on. Maraming salamat. Thank you for your courage, the courage of your convictions and your frankness, and we're all looking forward to hearing more from you. Janina Vela. Lifestyle vlogger, but you're more than a lifestyle blogger now, no? You're a vlogger, you're an influencer on a lot of things now. So congratulations and good luck on your vlogging career.
Thank you so much, Bo. I appreciated this interview. Thank you so much for having me.
All the best! Magandang show fun! Nandito ko akistra sa Gintramuros ni Onila Bells bilang katatawag sa mga klase. At sasakay ka mestra ng Kalesa Boom!
Hello, Flingers! Welcome back to our channel!
Today, we're gonna have our Real House Tour!
Sa paglaganap ng social media at pagdali ng access sa iba't ibang teknolohiya, kasama ang mga Pilipino sa mga naingganyong mag-vlog. Maraming Pinoy vloggers ang sumikat at naging matagumpay. Karamihan sa kanila ay naging profesional ang vlogging. Pero paano nga ba kumita mula sa pagba-vlog? Una, gumawa ka muna ng iyong YouTube channel gamit ang iyong Gmail account. Ikaw ang bahala sa tema. pwedeng fashion, travel, cooking, exercise and fitness, reviews, tutorials, unboxing, o kung ano-ano pa. Basta hindi ito lalabag sa policies at community guidelines ng YouTube. Mag-upload ng video kada linggo. Tandaan, consistency is key. Kailangan mo ng hindi bababa sa 4,000 watch hours sa nakaraang 12 buwan at hindi bababa sa 1,000 subscribers bago mo ma-monetize o pagkakitaan ng iyong channel. Ngayon, paano ka makakakuha ng pera mula sa YouTube? Unang-una sa pamamagitan ng YouTube Partner Program. Dito, kikita ka mula sa mga advertisement na ilalagay ng YouTube sa iyong mga video. Kailangan mo lang gumawa ng account sa AdSense para pumasok ang monetization o ang kita. Ikalawa, maaari kang kumita sa pamamagitan ng pakikipag-partner sa mga brand bilang influencer o affiliate. Depende sa iyong tema, may mga kumpanya na maaari kang kunin para mag-endorse ng kanilang mga produkto. Ikatlo, kung ang video mo ay mag-viral, maaari mo itong i-apply ng license at ibenta sa mga video distributor para makasingil ng karampatang halaga sa mga gustong gumamit ng video mo, tulad ng mga TV network o iba pang media organization. Ilan lamang ito sa mga paraan para kumita ka sa pamamagitan ng iyong vlog. Ang mga posibilidad ay napakarami, pero kailangan tandaan, maging responsable sa kung anuman ang ilalagay mo sa internet. Fast food crew, drugstore cashier, BIR tax collector, call center agent. Lahat yan nagampanan na ng susunod nating guest. Walang iba, kundi ang madalas mag-trending na si Makoy Dubs. Kamusta na, Makoy?
Yes, Sir Howie, magandang hapon. Magandang araw din po sa lahat ng manonood natin ngayon. Yes, ako po si Makoy Dubs. Ako po yung napapanood ninyo sa Facebook at Twitter na gumaganap bilang government employee, fast food crew, call center agent, at iba pa.
Para sa mga old school, no? Katulad ko, ano bang vlogging? Ano ba yan? Trabaho na ba yan? Profesyon? Hobby? Pastime? Libangan? O wala ka lang magawa dahil naka-quarantine ka rin?
Sir Howie, ang vlogging ay part po ng ano ng content production na ginagawa ng mga millennials, Generation Z sa panahon natin ngayon. Actually, nag-evolve kasi siya from blogging, which is yung nag-share ka ng kwento or experiences mo sa World Wide Web. Pero pagdating po kasi sa vlogging, eto na yung meron na tayong video na nire-record na natin yung sarili natin gamit yung camera or cellphone camera natin. Tapos, tsaka tayo nag-kikwento kung kumusta yung araw natin. Pero very diverse din siya, Sir Howie, because yung vlogging, marami din siyang facets. Pwede kang maging lifestyle vlogger, food vlogger, pwede rin kang sports vlogger or fitness vlogger. So marami po siyang mga pwedeng gawin. Sa ngayon, masasabi din natin, Sir Howie, na isa na rin siyang profesyon dahil siyempre may mga brands na rin na nakikipag-collaborate with vloggers para rin ma-promote yung kanilang product and services.
So nabanggit mo, may mga food vlogger, may lifestyle vlogger, sports vlogger. So what are you? What kind of vlogger?
Ako po yung vlogger na more on comedy, more on comic or mga skits. Kasi yung pinoproduce ko po, mga contents ko online, it's more of a short form of videos na mas nakaka-relate in terms of experiences ng mga kababayan natin. Kaya ginawa ko yung kunwari call center agent ako, kunwari government employee, or kunwari fast food crew. Because parang mas natutuwa ako gumawa ng mga vlogs or mga videos na mas may ikse. Tapos ididikit ko na dun yung humor. Pero gumagawa rin ho ako ng, ng mga vlogs na long form, yung mga more than 5 minutes. Lalo na kapag kami mga establishments or meron akong mga services na halimbawa, isha-share sa mga viewers natin na like for example, pupunta ako sa restaurant, i-feature ko yung food or let's say sa isang convenience store.
So pinili mong mostly mag Facebook yung iyong platform, no? Meron naman iba, YouTube, plus meron pang TikTok. I don't know if you count that as an alternative. Mas maiksi pa yun, ano? So anong advantage ng nasa Facebook ka versus YouTube?
Well, Howie, mas ano kasi sa Facebook eh, mas malawak ang audience basically. Kapag ikaw ay gusto mo maging content creator or content producer in the future, ang pinakamadali talaga to touch base ay ang Facebook platform. Because halos lahat naman sa ating mga Pinoy, tutok rin sa Facebook, halos lahat may Facebook accounts. Kaya dito ko din pinili na mag-umpisa muna at gumawa ng page because mas malawak yung reach natin, and at the same time na realize ko din na yung viewers, kumbaga yung demographic ng mga nanonood ng aking videos, mga masa market, so mas madali silang i-reach, and then to followed by Twitter. YouTube naman hindi ako masyadong active because sa short form ang aking mga content.
Hello, Mare. Yes, good evening. Anong may tutulong ko sa iyo, sis? Aha, sis? Yes. Anong kailangan mo? Test kit? Bakit? Bakit kailangan ng test kits? Di ba kakapatest mo pa lang, tsaka ng buong pamilya mo? At tsaka negative kayo, di ba? Bakit pa ulit kayo magpapatest? What? Ang kapal ng mukha nyo! Yes, alam nyo, Mare, ang may kailangan ng test kit ngayon, yung mga person under investigation and mga person under monitoring. At saka yung mga frontliners ng mga health workers dahil sila ang vulnerable sa COVID-19.
Much of your content is, sabi mo nga, you're into comedy, you know? It's satire, karamihan ng ginagawa mo, yung dun sa mga napanood namin, no? Satirizing people in ordinary situations, no, mga kahera, etc. No? But at the same time, meron din kaming napansin na social commentary. In fact, yung isang nakilala ka rin dahil dito sa isang monologue mo where you're satirizing or you're making fun of the VIP treatment given to senators, certain senators, when it came to COVID testing. Well, para sa katulad ko, I thought that was fair comment, di ba? Ganun talaga ang satire since time immemorial. Sinasatire mo people in power, ordinary things, etc. No? Pero may nangyari sa'yo, no? Na take down yon.
Yes, Howie. Naglabas ako ng ganong content, no? Sa Facebook. At after 2 days na naka-up siya sa Facebook, na mass report siya. Yung mga ganon, to be honest, nakakatakot din, no? Maglabas sa mga ganong klaseng content because, syempre, social commentary, hindi lahat sa'yo ay sasang-ayon. Kaya, in-expect ko na din na mati-takedown siya. Pero, sa ibang platform, no, katulad ng Twitter, na mas bata ang audience, hindi naman siya nabura.
Okay, that's a bit worrisome, no? Because sa tingin namin, wala naman libelous doon. Wala ka naman, I mean, basically, it's based on facts, what came out in the news, at hindi naman yung dinideny ng mga senador na yon. And yet, ang nangyari sa'yo is a form of censorship on a platform which has become notorious or controversial for being very tolerant of a lot of other kinds of content na masasabi natin damaging to society. Di ba? I mean, Facebook is a very controversial platform for that reason. Ang dami niyang tinotolerate na hate speech, disinformation, etc. And yet, yung ginawa mo is, compared to all of that, parang harmless. Are you troubled by that? Outsiders kami, looking at your content, we find it, you know, it has a social value, pero kumbaga tinanggal ka sa ere.
Actually, Howie, bilang ako yung nasa video, mukha ko, boses ko, no, lahat. Ako din talaga yung sobrang nag-alala dahil nga sa criticism na matatanggap ko in the future. And bago, eto, dito ko lang to sasabihin, no, bago ma-report, no, bago mabura ng Facebook yung video ko na yon, marami akong natanggap na death threat, no, sa personal message. Na talagang sinasabi nila na aabangan nila ako sa labas, alam daw nila saan ako nakatira, alam daw nila saan daw nakatira ang aking mga magulang at aabangan daw nila ako. And most of the reports, because Facebook will notify you eh, bakit siya nabura. Ang reklamo ng mga mass reports ay misinformation daw and hate speech. That's why yun ang dahilan kaya nabura ang post ko. At sobra din ako nag-alala no nung after niyang mabura because sa loob ng 2 araw nabura ang aking post wherein kapag ka magsasubmit ka ng dispute sa platform na ito sa Facebook, usually it takes 5 to 7 days because thoroughly nire-review talaga nila yung content bago nila i-delete. But this time, nagtaka rin ako at nakakapag-alala dahil in just 2 days, nabura ang aking video.
Kasi pag sinasabing misinformation or disinformation, it means it's not true. And it's deliberate, di ba? It's deliberate, it's a deliberate falsehood. Kumbaga, sinungaling, di ba? Pero pag pinanood mo, I mean, yung sinasatirize mo lang doon, yung laman ng balita, di ba? Wala, ikaw, anong reaction mo doon nung sinasabing misinformation or hindi totoo? Yung satire na yon.
Howie, ano nga eh nung natanggap ko na yung reklamo na yon na nag-send sa akin ng email si Facebook na nabura na yung aking post. Nagtanong-tanong ako sa aking mga kaibigan na abogado because mga kabatch ko rin nung college na nag-law or mga connection din. Tinanong ko rin sila eh, makakasuhan ba ako dito sa in-upload ko? Libelous ba? Pero ang sabi naman nila, hindi naman daw dahil hindi naman daw full name yung mga sinabi ko. And besides, wala naman akong threat na sinabi doon sa video na yon. Kasi nga parang kunwari, marehan eh. Parang magkumpare lang na tawag na kumustahan tapos may chismis na sasabihin, ganyan.
Ito nga, ang anak ko. Oo, 11 months na ho. 11 months na hindi pa lumalabas. Hindi ko nga ako alam kung bakit. Natatakot yata lumabas dahil pagkalabas niya siya ang magbabay na utang na ating bansa.
hindi pa rin ako huminto, pero medyo nilagyan ko na ng konting katatawanan, no? Dinidikit-dikit ko na siya sa mga konting senaryo. Kaya para rin maging safe lang din. That's why itong mga nakaraan kong mga videos din, medyo may konting pahapyaw, pero nandun pa rin yung comedy, kumbaga. Hindi ko pa rin inalis yung social commentary.
So, bakit? Bakit ka tumatalakay ng mga issues? Bakit ginagawa mong, sinasali mo sa iyong performance, itong sa satires mo, yung mga issues na yan? Seryosong issue yan, no? Kasi, yun nga, nakilala ka for just mimicking or impersonating people na nakakatawa, di ba? Walang masyadong politika, you're kind of making fun of ordinary situations. Bakit parang lumihis ka ng konti, pumasok ka doon sa social commentary?
It's more of more than creating entertainment. It's also my way of spreading information, somehow educating as well the followers of what is currently happening. And also there's a pressure, no? May mga pressure din na tayong natatanggap na, you should speak out. Ano bang say mo about this? So syempre meron ding konting impluensya na kailangan meron ka ring masabi.
Do you feel obligated to stick to the truth? Kasi hindi ka naman journalist, hindi ka naman reporter, does your comedy, does your satire have to be true to have an impact, sa tingin mo?
Well, Howie, I'm a communications graduate. And I mean, I even when I am in college, my school taught us to always, you know, speak about the truth. And I think it's already, you know, imbibed in my personality or upbringing still, kahit nung bata pa ako, no? I'm not obliged to say the truth, but somehow I feel good when I say the truth. Kapag ka meron akong mga konting patama or hapyaw sa mga comedy videos ko, sometimes I kind of feel good about it because somehow meron kang konting information or education na naibibigay dun sa mga followers mo.
Maraming nagsasabi na huwag na kayong makisawsaw sa politika. Why even comment on issues that probably are over your head? Diba? Just magpatawa ka na lang. Diba? Madalas mo makita yan sa Twitter, sa Facebook, bakit ka pa hindi naman kayo marunong or whatever, no? Daming sinasabing ganun. So, bakit mga katulad mo, no? You're a performer in comedy. Why even comment on social issues?
Howie, sa tingin ko rin kasi as content creators, as collaborators, we also have parang we also have a responsibility to spread the information and the truth, and at the same time allowing the viewers to, you know, activate their critical thinking.
You're a teacher, you're responsible for the, I guess, the education and maybe part of the future of these young people, no? Are you worried that they're so exposed to the internet, to screens? Does any of that worry you?
Yes, Howie. Ako personally, na nagtuturo ako for almost 2 years right now in Letran. Iba ang behavior ng mga kabataan din ngayon when it comes to consuming content. Ang downside nga lang, mas madali rin silang maniwala, lalo na kapag merong mga ideologies ang isang vlogger na gusto nilang i-instill sa kanilang mga followers. Pero isa rin sa mga negative na nakikita natin sa ngayon, mas nagiging reliant ang mga bata or yung mga kabataan, estudyante na mas lalong tumutok sa social media to the point na minsan nakakaligtaan na rin nila yung ibang responsibilities. I think for me as a teacher as well, no, yun yung mga nakikita nating downsides. Mas matagal ang kanilang screen time. Like for example, from 30 minutes, nagiging 2 hours na yung screen time just watching videos on Facebook.
So anong remedyo doon, no? Of course, nakikinabang ka doon. The more time they spend on the screen, the more time they're watching people like you at kumikita ka rin dyan. But on the other hand, I'm sure you're also interested in their welfare, di ba? Yung kanilang mental wellness and all of that, no? So paano mo ibabalanse yan?
Actually, Howie, meron tayong tinatawag na content fatigue, no? Ito yung tinatawag natin na kapag ka masyado ka nang nasasaturate sa social media, kapag paulit-ulit mong pinapanood, no, o inaabangan, yung mga content creators na gusto mong panoorin ang kanilang mga videos. That's why ang payo din natin sa mga content creators, no, kailangan din nila mag-pause for a while. And dapat din, ang remedyo na nakikita natin, actually, I'm also doing this naman, meron kang content calendar na tinatawag wherein meron kang specific na araw na maglalabas ka lang ng content. So, ang remedyo na pwede nating maisuggest sa kanila ay gumawa ng content calendar at mag-plot ng araw kung kailan lang sila maglalabas ng video or post, no, sa kanilang mga social media accounts. That's why para rin mas makatulong tayo doon sa mga followers natin or doon sa mga makakakita ng content natin, na importante rin na aside from screen time or aside from watching videos, mahalaga rin na meron pa rin silang human interaction kahit papaano.
Sino ba yung paborito mong character sa iyong mga skit?
Ang pinaka-paborito ko talagang character, yung BIR employee. Siya talaga, Howie, dahil first-hand na experience ko ang ganong treatment, no? Nung ako'y nag-file ng tax 2 years ago sa isang branch nila sa Cavite. Yung mga skits din kasi na ginagawa natin sa TikTok, no? Personal experience din talaga siya.
Late filing ka na naman. Last week pa dapat yan. Third week na ngayon.
Pero malakas ang loob mo, ha? Kasi baka pahirapan ka next time. Lalo.
Oo, baka sabihin nila sa akin, ikaw yun ang gaya sa amin, ha?
Okay, well, maraming salamat sa iyong mga patawa at panahon. Makoy Dubs, keep making us laugh and keep making us miss our old normal. Maraming salamat sa iyo. Makoy Dubs, God bless you. Mabuhay ka.
Mabuhay. Maraming salamat din, Howie Severino, sa iyong oras ngayong araw. At syempre, sa team, sa iyong team na talagang dedicated sa show na ito. Salamat, maraming salamat.
Talamak sa fake news at trolling ang internet ngayon. Ngunit may naririnig pa rin tayo mga boses ng kabataan na nagsusumikap iangat ang kamalayan natin sa malikhaing paraan. Kasama sila sa mga tinukoy ni Rizal na pag-asa ng bayan. Naway dumami ang mga tulad nila dahil lalo silang kailangan sa ating panahon. This is Quarantine with Howie Severino.